on the Colorado State Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the Colorado State Insider with the voice of the Rams, Brian Roth.
All right, here we go. Start of the second half from Moby Arena this Tuesday night. 22nd-ranked Colorado State and the Wolfpack of Nevada. And Nevada with the 34-27 advantage. Rams have it in the front court. Stevens on the left wing. Step back after the crossover. Buries the triple. 46-43. A little highlight shake and bake. And then stick the jumper from Isaiah Stevens. Cambridge trying to answer, and he does. Right back at you, all squared 46. Rams inbound it to Ronnie. Little jump hook in the lane. Count it with a foul. Went right to work. And Ronnie has given the Rams the lead back. James Moore spins in the lane. Oh, great move, and he'll scoop it in with the right hand. And right after the seven-footer, Will Baker.
A little shimmy with those shoulders. A little fake baseline, and Baker didn't know what he was guarding.
Post up to Baker, has him right of the lane. Spins baseline, lost the ball, stolen. CSU in the forecourt, 3-on-2. Led by Stevens down the lane, got to the rim, lays it up, and in! 69-63! And a big celebration in front of us from head coach Nico Medved. He knew his team was in a dogfight tonight, and they made enough plays to pull it out. 5 seconds to go. CSU dribbling this sucker out. And the Rams will get a hard-fought win over Nevada.
All right, well, Moby Arena rocking once again last night as we welcome you back to another edition of the Colorado State Insider Podcast. Great to have everybody back with us this week. Brian Roth, your host of said podcast. And yeah, Moby Arena, the student section out in full force, and helped propel Colorado State to a come-from-behind victory over Nevada at the Whale last night. All right, as always, a lot to get to. Of course, we will talk a lot of Colorado State basketball. The Rams now 16-1 on the season following last night's victory. We'll hear post-game comments from head coach Nico Medved. We also had James Moores on the post-game as well. James, a 6'10 sophomore post player from New Zealand and a kid who I think played his best game of the season last night. So we'll hear from Nico. We'll hear from James coming up on the program. We'll talk some Colorado State women's basketball. They got the win at Fresno State on Monday night. Talk about some moving and shaking within the Colorado State football coaching staff. CSU losing a coach, but officially hiring some other coaches as well. And then we'll have a conversation with an old dear friend of mine, Jenny Kabnar. Of course, most fans recognize Jenny for her work with the Colorado Rockies on AT&T Sportsnet, longtime pregame, postgame, in-game reporter, and also, of course, has done some play-by-play and has made history on that front in Major League Baseball. She was just named the Colorado Sportscaster of the Year by the National Sports Media Association. First female ever to win the award in Colorado. Certainly much deserved. And yeah, Jenny and I, well, our relationship goes back a long, long time. In fact, we grew up just a couple blocks away from each other, even though I'm a bit older than Jenny. And well, wanted to get her on with that award coming down last week. Baseball season come up. We're not going to talk much baseball, but we'll talk a lot of Colorado State and her relationship with Colorado State University. So stay tuned for that coming up later on in the podcast. All right, let's just get to some football stuff right off the bat. And of course, signing day coming up next Wednesday, February the 2nd. We'll have full coverage on the Colorado State Insider podcast next week on signing day. It's not going to talk really about it at all here on this week's show, but we'll have Jay Norvell in the program next week. Probably release the podcast next Thursday. Signing day's on Wednesday. Give me a chance to get over there on Wednesday afternoon, and we'll release the podcast next Thursday. But also, along with the signing day and the imminent podcast next week, Colorado State's going to be hosting a national signing day event for all the fans on Monday, February 7th. It's going to be at Canvas Stadium at 5:15 p.m. I'm going to be hosting the event there before flying out to Reno to be with the men's basketball team as they take on Nevada, rematch of that game on February 8th, but should be a fun night there at Canvas Stadium. Again, a National Signing Day event Monday, February 7th at 5:15. All right, so the football staff taking a hit here this past week as newly hired wide receivers coach Timmy Chang, who had come over with Jay Norvell from Nevada, Well, he was here at Fort Collins, was recruiting for Colorado State. I met Timmy in his office just a couple of weeks ago. Of course, Timmy Chang, the former Hawaii quarterback, and put up all sorts of numbers with June Jones as their head coach, and Timmy Chang, a legend out in Hawaii. And, well, he is now going to be taking over that Hawaii football program. Of course, Hawaii had all sorts of problems with Todd Graham. And after just a couple of years, Todd Graham relieved of his duties. I think officially he resigned. But, boy, they got state legislators involved in that whole deal and mistreating of players. It was an absolute mess. So Todd Graham resigns. And, boy, Timmy Chang, a young college coach, going to take over that Hawaii football program. And I think it was pretty clear that Hawaii said, hey, we got to go get one of our own. You know, Hawaii is such a unique situation. It's unlike any other college job out there. About the only other college job out there I think you could compare Hawaii to, and it's on a smaller scale, but really to BYU. There's a uniqueness to that BYU job, just as there's a uniqueness to the Hawaii job, with obviously its geographical location and a bunch of different stuff. So look, I mean, Timmy Chang looks like the right hire for that, and we'll see how he does. But, well, wishing Timmy the very best of luck, as he was a well, his career at Colorado State didn't last very long, but Timmy's certainly an affable young guy. All right, well, the Rams did officially add a few more defensive coaches to the staff. And of course, we've known about some of these coaches for a while now, but they just hadn't been announced officially. Buddha Williams, the new defensive line coach at Colorado State, and Adam Pilipil can be the new linebackers coach at CSU. Pilipil comes from Montana State, where he follows Freddie Banks, who of course was hired as the defensive coordinator here at CSU. Freddie Banks was the defensive coordinator at Montana State last year as he led the Bobcats to the FCS championship game, where they fell to North Dakota State. But Pilipil, a former Wyoming linebacker, played at Wyoming from 2015 to 2018, comes with Freddie Banks from Montana State to CSU, and again, he'll coach the linebackers. Meanwhile, Buddha Williams spent the past 5 years at North Dakota State. Of course, North Dakota State knocked off Montana State for that FCS national championship last year, and Williams, again, will be coaching the defensive line. Again, we'll have a lot more Colorado State football talk coming up on next week's podcast, with signing day looming. All right, so we will switch gears to basketball and touch on the Colorado State women briefly here. They're sitting at 13-5 on the season. They're 4-4 in conference play. And man, they have played three straight games on the road, and they're in a stretch where they play 5 of 6 away from Moby Arena. But not bad. I mean, look, they went 2-3 in the latest road trip. Of course, we talked last week, they beat Utah State and got 17 assists from McKenna Hofschild, a school record. Then they would lose to Boise State on Saturday, but bounced back in a big way. They got the win at Fresno State on Monday night, 78-67. Of course, that's a Fresno State team struggling a little bit this year, surprisingly, because the Bulldogs were picked to win the Mountain West Conference on the women's side, but the Rams get the 11-point win on Monday night. McKenna Hofschild continues to do it all. She had 24 points, 5 assists in the game. Upe Otosu, the Butler transfer, she chipped in with 22 on Monday, and then another double-double for Carly Murphy, 15 points and 12 rebounds. The women are at home before heading out onto the road for a couple of more. They get Nevada coming up on Thursday night. That's tomorrow night as we record this, 6 p.m. I know I'm going to take my family out to that game. And boy, it's a huge game for CSU. Not only are they back at home, but it's a Wolfpack team that is 5-1 in Mountain West Conference play, so a chance to gain some ground on a team that's ahead of you in the standings. Wolfpack 13-5 overall. And, you know, it's interesting. You look at the women's basketball standings. New Mexico, clearly the team to beat. I don't think there's any question about that. If you ask Ryan Williams and probably most of the coaches in the league, say, who's the most talented and the best team in the league? Everyone's probably going to say New Mexico. Lobos won the regular season championship last year. They're 8-0 this year. They've been rolling through Mountain West Conference play so far. So you have New Mexico at 8-0. You have UNLV at 7-1. And then Nevada sitting at 5-1. Then after that, the rest of the league is 500 or below. And again, Colorado State, one of those teams sitting at 500 at 4-4. So a huge game for head coach Ryan Williams and the women's basketball team coming up tomorrow night, Thursday night, 6 p.m. at Moby Arena. All right, well, let's get to the game that was played last night at Moby. Colorado State men's basketball team coming in at 15-1, taking on the 9-7 Nevada Wolfpack. Of course, it's the Rams team that was coming off a 20-point beatdown of Air Force down at the Academy on Saturday, and we expected that fully to be a tough, tough game. Air Force seemingly has played everybody tough here this season, but the Rams, boy, they destroyed the Falcons in control the entire game. There was a great Ram contingent down at the Academy on Saturday, and the Rams picked up the 73-53 win on Saturday to move to 15-1. The latest polls came out on Monday. Rams moved up from 23rd to 22nd in the latest coaches poll. They moved up in the AP poll as well, but still on the outside looking in when it comes to the top 25 on the AP side. But you get a Nevada team coming in last night. It's a Nevada team. The 9-7 record doesn't impress anybody, but a Nevada team that it's clearly one of the top five teams in the Mountain West Conference. You look at the talent on the Nevada roster. They had the preseason player of the year in Grant Shurfield. He was a first-team All-Mountain West Conference selection last year. The point guard, he and Isaiah Stevens, the two best point guards in the Mountain West Conference. Desmond Cambridge, one of the top scorers in the conference, coming back. They added a seven-footer. And Will Baker from the University of Texas. Of course, Steve Alford now in his third season there. And they live on transfers. I mean, that's just how they do it at Nevada. Of course, Eric Musselman lived on transfers and took Nevada to multiple NCAA tournaments and even into the Sweet 16 as well. So that's kind of the way the Nevada roster is built. And boy, they were horrible early in the season. They went 1-4 to open up the year. They had a 20-point blowout loss to Santa Clara. They lost to San Diego. USD beat them. They got beat by 25 or 26 against South Dakota State, who I think is a pretty good Summit League team, but you should never get blown out by 26. And all of a sudden, they were sitting at 1-4 to start the season, but they kicked a player off their roster. It was addition by subtraction, is what we were told by the folks there in Reno. And since then, they have actually been pretty good. They came into the game last night at 9-7, but 3-2 in the conference. They were coming off a win against Fresno State. And the Rams were 8.5-point favorites last night, but I don't think there's anybody in that Ram block room that expected that thing to be an easy game. And let's also say this. This is a Colorado State team that will continue to get everybody's best shot. You have a ranking next to your name, and of course the Rams were picked to win the Mountain West Conference in the preseason poll. So you saw Nevada come in, you saw the energy they brought into Moby Arena, and you know the first half, Nevada played very, very well. And I thought the Rams played decent in the first half. The Rams were down by 10 late stages of the first half. They would trail 34-27 at the intermission, and I thought the Rams got good looks. They just couldn't hit. I mean, CSU didn't play that poorly in the first half. They just shot 33% from the floor. They were 4 of 16 from beyond the three-point line. And I think going into halftime, and Adam Nygaard and I talked about this at the intermission, you know, you're down 34-27, but you felt okay. Felt like CSU was poised to come back and continue to work their offense. They were going to get more good shots, and you just had to believe that they were going to hit those shots. It's a Nevada team that came in averaging nearly 76 points per game against. They're not a great defensive team, and they held CSU to 27 points in the first half. And you just kind of got the feeling that if CSU could hit shots, they were going to be okay. Well, down by 7, second half tips off, and within 3 minutes of the second half, the Rams had tied it up at 39 apiece, and then we were on. I mean, it's almost like hit the reset button, and man, it was an entertaining second half. After it was tied at 39, there would be 8 lead changes down the stretch, and we'd be tied up at 63 apiece with 6 minutes to go, and boy, how about the closing spurt for Colorado State? Locked Nevada down defensively, and the Rams closed out the game on a 14-3 run in the final 6 minutes. In fact, they held Nevada scoreless for a 5-minute stretch in that span. CSU hit 6 of 6 from the free throw line down the stretch. David Roddy had 4 of those free throws. Isaiah Stevens, the best free throw shooter in the Mountain West Conference, he went 2 of 2. And boy, a phenomenal night for Roddy. 18 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. Stevens chipped in with 16. Chandler Jacobs starting his second consecutive game. He had 14. And then there was James Moores. who chipped in with 8 points. Now, again, John Tonje did not play in that game due to a knee issue. He's going to have that knee looked at here today, and we'll know a little bit more going into that UNLV game on Friday night. But James Morris understood that he was going to have to play a little bit more in the contest because of the fact that Thistlewood's still out, Tonje's not in the game, but also because Nevada rolled out 2 7-footers in their starting lineup, and then they bring a 6'10 kid off the bench. Rams knew they were going to have to go bigger. James Morris understood he was going to have more of a role last night, and he played a season-high 25.5 minutes at a season-high 8 points, had 3 assists and 4 rebounds as well. We'll hear from James Morris in just a minute, but first we'll hear our post-game comments from Nico Medved. He'll talk about the win and also give his thoughts on James Morris and his best performance of the season.
Well, Nico, good win. We knew it would be a tough one, and your team scratched and clawed their way back into it after being down 10 late in the first half, and, boy, you pull away with the victory. Congrats.
Thank you. That was a heck of a win. I mean, that's as good of a win as we've had all year, and, you know, I knew it was going to be a challenge, and, you know, these guys responded like they always do, got dealt a blow, down a couple of guys, and responded, and yeah, it was not pretty in the first half, but you got to give Nevada a lot of credit, you know. And I thought our turnovers really hurt us, a couple of live ball turnovers that way, and we need to do a better job of guarding the lane. But, man, in the second half, our guys just responded like crazy. And obviously David and Isaiah do what they do, but the guy that really stood out to me was James Morris here. You know, he's a guy that hasn't been playing as much. He's a terrific defensive player. He's a really good, does a great job defending ball screens. And I thought that was so key tonight. I mean, he was up, you know, defending ball screens. And I thought he really gave us a presence. And I'm so proud of him.
Do you have to continue to talk to a kid? Because he's an interesting situation. Starter last year. And do you have to continually talk to him as the season goes along? Say, hey, look, stay with it. You're probably not getting as many minutes as you want, but stay with it, stay with it.
Yeah, and it's not easy, you know, in your role. But I told the guys after the game, too, and I say this to him all the time, is, you know, there's an old saying, when opportunity comes, it's too late to prepare.
Yeah.
You know, and it's about staying prepared for your opportunity, and those guys do that in practice. And, you know, Isaiah Rivera has done that. Yeah. James Morris has done that, and that's our depth right there, those guys staying prepared for the moment here, and they did. And obviously we needed everybody here today, and I thought those guys stepped up big time.
Yeah, one guy really we didn't mention much, but Kendall Moore, the other Moore there, he had 9 second-half points, all of his 9 come in the second half. In particular, how big is that 3 that he just kind of willed in there that took about 12 different bounces?
You know, Kendall be the first to tell you, you know, he's just not in a rhythm shooting the ball. He's working at it. A lot of that's confidence. But the thing about him is he just keeps coming.
Right.
He just keeps coming. And I thought, like, obviously that huge 3, it was huge. But I thought the other play he made here, you know, in transition where he took his time and rejected the ball screen and went in and laid it in, I thought that was a huge play. And his defense on Sherfield
right.
was just phenomenal. I thought he was absolutely tremendous.
Yeah, and Kendall actually doesn't have a steal on the books, but how many deflections did he have tonight? Certainly a few. But, Coach, talk about that job you guys did on Cambridge Jr. and Grant Sherfield collectively. I mean, 15 of 35 were those guys, 9 for 26 everyone else. So those guys take 35 of a total of 51 shots. So talk about the job you guys had to do specifically on those two guys.
So I think we did a good job on Sherfield. I was pretty happy with how we guarded him. You know, we got split on one ball screen here late and that, but I thought for the most part we really guarded him well. I don't think we did a good enough job on Cambridge tonight. I think, you know, the scouting report was to crowd him and make him dribble, and you know how that goes. I mean, we didn't crowd him. He makes his first shot and 2, and I think we needed to be better there, and that's something we addressed at halftime. We play these guys again. We're going to have to be better because he can put points on the board in a hurry. Thought we're really good on Sherfield. I think we need to be better next time we play Cambridge.
All right. Well, we mentioned it on the court with you, but you guys are 10-0 now on the home court. And, I mean, you know, there's a lot of folks probably driving home from the game tonight, exhausted after watching this thing tonight. But, you know, this crowd, and get a game coming up Friday night against UNLV, I mean, this crowd has been so, so pivotal for you guys this year.
It's awesome. And to see, again, I'm out here an hour before tip, and the students are already filling up the deal. I mean, that is just – that's what they do at Viejas. That's what they do at these other places. And we're really building that culture here. And they pull us through. I mean, their energy is awesome. And so they really make a difference. It feels great to come out and play in front of fans like that. And I just feel like it's going to continue to build.
Yep, a Friday night game with UNLV.
What's better than that?
That's
Let's
right.
pack Moby.
Let's go. All right, congrats, Nico.
Thank you, guys.
All right, there's Nico Medved. Indeed, the Rams and the Rebels coming up on Friday night. All right, let's get to James Moores and the sophomore from New Zealand shining on Tuesday night. Give us your thoughts on the game tonight. That was not easy, but you guys pulled it out.
It was definitely a battle, and we knew that being shorthanded that everyone was going to have to step up. And I think defensively for me, that just in the second half, coming into that second half, we really had to be locked in, and that's what got us going, I think.
Did you know with John Tanjay out, with Adam Thistlewood out, the fact that Nevada has 2 7-footers, they bring in a 6'10 kid off the bench, did you have a feeling your minutes were going to be increased today, and did you expect to play a bigger role tonight?
Well, yeah, with John and Adam both forming, I knew I was probably going to play a little bit more tonight, so I definitely had to be ready for that, and I've always just tried to stay prepared for if an opportunity like this comes around.
What does it say? I mean, 26 tonight essentially doubles any, you know, game time you've played in a previous game this year, probably your whole career. What did those more minutes allow you to do out there?
I think the main thing it does is it just boosts your confidence. It allows you to play your game a bit more, get lost in the game, and just play a bit more free, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point because it kind of just lets you not worry about one mistake knowing you're coming out and everything like that. But let's just talk about the fans. We talked off air, but how cool of an impact have you guys made in the short 2 years you've been here? I mean, talk about the difference from even your first couple days on campus to now playing in front of this environment.
Oh, I love it. It's so cool coming out and, you know, we go up 60 minutes before the game to warm up and there's already hundreds, maybe like 1,000 people here. And then deep in the game, that's what gets us over the line sometimes. Like, the crowd's just cheering us along, roaring. Like, it's so cool. I love it.
James Moores, the 6'10" sophomore out of New Zealand, joining us here on the postgame show. He's our UC Health Heart of the Game following the Rams' 11-point win over Nevada. I asked you this off the air, but we'll ask you on the air as well. You started most of the season last year, 21 starts. Coming off the bench this year, how have you adjusted to that? Because your minutes have been down this year.
Mm-hmm. It has been a little bit tough, but as I said before, I've had to stay ready. You know, we're a great team, and when you're playing on a team like this, you just have to like play your role to the best you can, and you never know what's going to happen because something like tonight can happen, and you just got to be ready to help the team get the win.
All right, we had mentioned you're from New Zealand. I asked you right before we went on air, when was the last time you had been home? Did you get a chance to go home this summer? You said no. New Zealand, like Australia, has kind of been locked down.
It's been nearly 2 years since I went home. I came here in, I think it was like mid-July 2020, and I just called my mom a few weeks ago, and she said I won't be able to come home this year, so hopefully 2023 I can go home.
Oh, man.
We're January 2022 right now, and you're looking at 2023 to go home. That's tough. But good news is your sister is here playing with the women's basketball program. That had to be fun, right, to get her out here?
That's been awesome. Actually, I need to catch up with her for lunch this week. With the season, it's been a bit crazy. But, yeah, we message each other all the time, and I see her around Moby, so I love having her here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they've been on the road for a long time. They were in Utah. They were in Boise. They were tuned by last night. They were in Fresno, so they haven't been around. Well, James, congratulations to you and your ball club. Another win. Keep it rolling Friday.
Thank you, guys.
All right, there's James Moores, the New Zealand native, and how about that? Has not been home in over 2 years, and looking at 2023, the next time he's going to probably be able to get down to New Zealand. And again, his sister, Jess Moores, is a freshman on the Colorado State women's basketball team. So I think that helps out just a little bit. Obviously, you have a Zoom, Skype, FaceTime. You can see your parents and your family, but nothing beats the real deal of getting your feet back in your hometown. And it's been a while for James Moores since that has happened. A bright, bright young man. All right, again, the Rams and UNLV coming up on Friday night at 7 p.m. And
It's going to be a big one. I think I heard 5,000 tickets have already been spoken for going into that game. Of course, we'll have a big walk-up of students as well. I think it could be close to a sellout. I mean, I think you'll get a lot of walk-ups coming up on Friday night as well. What else are you going to do on a Friday night, right? Get out to some Colorado State Ram basketball. It's the first Friday night game I can remember in a long, long time. Of course, the Mountain West Conference, I mean, I can't remember last time they started playing games on Friday nights, but the TV partners wanted some Friday night games this year. Rams play a lot of home Friday night games here this season. In fact, they'll get San Diego State a week from Friday on February 4th at Moby Arena, but expecting a big crowd. I think we'll be over 7,000 for that game on Friday night. And could we have a sellout? It'll be interesting to see, but should be a fun one. We'll be on the air on the Colorado State Sports Network at 6:30 on Friday night, and at 7 p.m. the tip-off, Bryce Hamilton and UNLV come a-calling to Fort Collins. All right, well, we wrap up the podcast here, and I reached out to an old friend of mine to see if she wanted to come on the show, a CSU grad, and of course, an individual that a lot of Ram fans know for her work with the Colorado Rockies TV broadcast team. Of course, talking about Jenny Kavnar. And Jenny is somebody I've known a long, long time. We grew up about two blocks away. Jenny was a little younger than me. Her dad, Steve Kavnar, was my high school baseball coach. And, well, Jenny came to Colorado State in the early 2000s. I was working in Fort Collins with Clear Channel and the radio cluster in Fort Collins, along with Rich Berkemshaw. Wyatt Thompson was there a little bit. Wyatt used to be the voice of the Rams before he went to Kansas State. Rich Berkemshaw took over, but Kevin McGlue was with us. And early 2000s, we had a great local radio cluster in Fort Collins. It's gone now. I mean, there's nothing local up here in Fort Collins when it comes to radio and local sports. But, you know, we had an afternoon radio show Monday through Friday, Rich Berkemshaw, myself, and Kevin McGlue. And we covered high school football. We covered high school basketball. Well, Jenny Kavnar was a student at Colorado State. Of course, she was working at the student station there. And Jenny was a bright young star even back then. She did sidelines for our high school football broadcast and even was incorporated into the Colorado State broadcast back in the early 2000s as she was working with me on the sidelines of CSU football games. And pretty clear back then that she had a bright, bright future. Jenny graduated in 2004, went on to work in Michigan, then moved out to Southern California, was doing work for CSTV. If anybody remembers CSTV, College Sports TV, that turned into CBS Sports Network. And then in 2007, Jenny was hired to be part of the pregame and postgame coverage for the San Diego Padres, her first foray into Major League Baseball. Of course, it's fitting with her baseball background, with her dad, a longtime high school coach in the state of Colorado at, again, my alma mater at Smoky Hill, and then winning a state championship at Regis Jesuit. Then in 2012, Jenny got to come home and be part of the TV broadcast team with the Colorado Rockies in the same role. And then in 2018, well, making history, one of the first women to call play-by-play of a Major League Baseball game. And then just a couple of weeks ago, she becomes the first woman to win the Colorado Sportscaster of the Year in the state here of Colorado by the National Sports Media Association. Jenny and I go way back, and she is a big-time Ram fan, and wanted to get Jenny on to talk about her affiliation with CSU, a little bit about her career and some of her thoughts of what's going on here in Fort Collins. The one, the only, Jenny Kavnar. All right, Jenny, hey, thanks for taking a couple of minutes out and joining us. I know you're in your off season, but you're about ready to get going with the Rockies. And let's just start here. I mean, I think a lot of Ram fans out there know you as an alum of Colorado State, a Colorado State fan. Kind of give us a snapshot of your relationship with Colorado State University.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely a Ram for life. There's no doubt about it. I think growing up in Colorado, I always tend to root for the Rams more than the Buffs. I think we had exposure to both, but my dad went to Colorado State. He played baseball there when there was still a Division I program. And so I think there's always been a little piece of history in our family. And I remember the first time I stepped on campus, I made a pretty late decision my senior year of high school to go to Colorado State, because I really felt like I was always going to go out of state and have a different experience. But really the second I stepped on campus, it was like, oh, like this is a really great place. It's beautiful. And I started to get into my studies and I was like, you know, it has all these things that I want. I was majoring in business at the time, but I always wanted to do TV. Like that was already a goal of mine. And so I was able to intersect into the communication school and double major. And I was really lucky that one of my dad's former baseball players named Brian Roth already had a broadcasting career going, and it happened to be in Fort Collins. So I'll never forget the day I walked in and reintroduced myself to you. And, you know, luckily enough, you vouched for me and you got me a nice internship at the radio station. So I was able to start out really young. But no, in all seriousness, like, I really appreciate that chance and I really appreciate the time you took with me. I mean, I was so raw and just really wanted to do it. I think I was eager, but I had to learn a lot. I had to learn a lot about, you know, preparation to be a broadcaster. And I think I learned that just from watching you, from watching Rich Berkemshaw all those years. You know, that preparation came in handy as I continued my career. A lot of people don't see the backside of your career, right? They see you on camera, but they don't see the hours and the work you put in, the relationships you put in, and how those are built. And I think I learned a lot of that while I was at my time at CSU.
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to that, I guess, life philosophy. It's not the destination, it's the journey, right? And some of those old memories, even for me, when I was growing up and getting into broadcasting, I mean, those were fun days. And you said you were raw when you got to CSU, and Jenny, everybody's raw when they start in this business. I moved 3 years ago and found a bunch of old tapes from my first job in Sterling, Colorado. I had to dig up a tape recorder. My kids didn't know what it was. Like, Dad, what are you doing? What is this machine that you have here?
I've seen that in a museum.
Right. And I hit play, and it was so bad that I couldn't listen to any more than about 15 seconds of it. I had stopped and I was like, all right, we're all done with this. And I put it back in the box.
Yeah, moving on. Right. Yeah. Just at that point, throw it away. Like, why are we saving them? You know?
Yes, I don't know why, but it's still in my garage. I have 1,000 tapes and they'll never get listened to, but it's one of those things you want to hold on to it. But, you know, you come to Colorado State, and man, what a time to be at CSU though. You were back in the early 2000s. When'd you graduate? Like 04, 05?
Yep, 04.
So you think about the teams that you were here with, and I know that, you know, you're a student, so obviously you're a fan of the teams, but it's always better when your teams are really good. And, you know, think about the 2003 NCAA run in basketball. But then on the football side, of course, Sonny Lubick leading the Rams to Mountain West Conference championships. So you're going to bowl games. Joel Dreesen, Bradley Van Pelt, David Anderson, Cecil Sapp. I mean, really one of you know, the glory stints of Ram football.
It really was. And also it's so interesting once you start on your path and you look back. I mean, for the majority of the last 22 years, I have been covering the Mountain West Conference in some form or capacity, which is really cool. I mean, the Mountain West inception was 1999. I got on campus 1 year later. And you start to see, as you mentioned, those glory years of Sonny Lubick and the Rams and what Ram football meant. I really was only a student in the student section as a fan my freshman year. And that was the Thursday night package. I remember we made this huge sign of like how we skipped class to be in the stands, you know. But after that, I was with you. I was with you on the sidelines. I was tracking your every move. And it was nice enough that you and Rich Berkemshaw let me do 2 interviews a game with a parent in the stand or a fan in the stand. I interviewed Urban Meyer's wife when he was coaching at Utah and they were playing the Rams. I interviewed Cecil Sapp's mom, like things that I vividly remember, and took great trips. Like I went to Wyoming with you guys. I went to Air Force with you guys. And then as I got older and got more involved, not only in radio, but also with the campus television station, it was such a great training ground. Like we really covered the team. We were at practices. At that time we were in the locker room. We were, you know, traveling to away games. I remember trips to Las Vegas and trips down to New Mexico. And it was like you were really cutting your teeth on all levels of not just like getting on camera and doing interviews or doing reports after a game, but you know, all the logistics that go along with it. And I'm so grateful for that time. You mentioned 2003 and the NCAA run. I remember you and I watching that game at a bar, and it was like the big snowstorm of the century, just getting to the bar to watch the game, getting to see the pot to watch the game. That in and of itself was quite the adventure. But man, those teams, like, it was so cool. It was so cool to be on campus at that time. And starting to see that revival now, right? I loved watching the game the other night. The student section, unbelievable. Like, it was so, so neat to see. And it's been really cool the last couple of years to get involved in the play-by-play side and get a call some of these games and get the rare chance to go back to Moby Arena. I'm going to do that for the San Diego State game coming up in a couple of weeks. And to know that's the Orange Out game and all the pride that comes with that. And you know, whenever I walk on campus as a broadcaster, I have to check myself a little bit and pull it back. And I know I'm calling a game evenly for both teams, but you always will have that inside of you. I'm so, so grateful for my time at CSU. And it's hard not to let that pride flow through when you're in Fort Collins.
Yeah, you're going to have fun on February 4th at that San Diego State game. I mean, Moby's rocking these days, as you have seen. I mean, again, we almost had 4,000 students show up.
Amazing.
We had an ice storm out there. Of course, the students, most of them are walking, I'm assuming. But yeah, but you've been to a lot of CSU games as a fan. That has to be fun. I mean, I've really never been to a CSU game as a fan. But you were at Iowa. I know you're at the Boise State game here this week. So you have a chance to get, I mean, because it is different when you're in our profession. Obviously, what you do with the Colorado Rockies, and you go to the ballpark to work. Not that it seems like work, but you quote unquote are working those games. You're not having a beer with a friend, or, you know, so it's just, it's different. And I get my outlet with the Broncos. I get to go to Bronco games as a fan, but do you have fun going to games as a Colorado State fan, where you can stand in the stands and cheer and say whatever you want? You can boo if you want too, which is
Yeah, no, it's great. You mentioned it. We went to that Boise game, and really that was only, I think, the second time that I've been to the new stadium. Just, you know, we have two kids now, and they're younger. And so over the last couple of years, then obviously with the pandemic, haven't had as much of a chance to get up there during football season. But we, as a friend group, decided to take that trip to Iowa this year, and it was the best experience ever. I mean, just to be able to travel on the road and be a Rams fan is cool, but to do it in such a great college town and against a Big Ten team, like, we're already planning our trip to Ann Arbor next year. We're like, we cannot going to the Big House, because it was just such a fun experience. And the fact that, like, I lost my voice for an entire week, which probably wasn't a good thing, seeing as it was still the baseball season, and it's
still September,
and be a broadcaster. I just got the weekend off to go, but I was yelling so hard and being up at the half, and, like, you know, these stunned Iowa fans around us, and they all want to start talking about CSU and why the quarterback's running. You know, as you watched Iowa develop last year, it was so frustrating, because you're like, they're a good team, obviously they have a great defense, but you're like, their quarterback, like, come on, man, like, do something. And, you know, so I understood their frustrations. But anyways, again, it was just, it's fun to be a fan for sure. And, I actually when I was on maternity leave this last year, we brought our whole family to a Rockies game, and it was a weird experience, Brian. It was the first time in 10 years that I had walked into Coors Field to, you know, have a beer in my hand and watch a baseball game and just kind of, like, take in the sights and sounds. And it's good to do that every once in a while, because you get a different perspective. And I think as a broadcaster, sometimes you lose sight of what that means to root for your team, to sit in the stands, to live and die by your team, when that is, you know, our jobs. And we do that every day. It's a job we love. We love our work. It's hard to call it a job. But it was fun to just kind of turn the script around for a day.
That is really cool. I want to go back to your career, and I mentioned it a little bit before we got you on, the fact that, you know, of course, we do have a relationship. You worked with us at Clear Channel 1410, The Zone, KIIX, with Rich Berkemshaw, Kevin McGlue. You did the high school football with us. Mentioned you were on the Colorado State Radio Network. I mean, back in the day as a student, and I think all of us saw a lot of big things in your future, Jenny, and it was pretty apparent. And so it's been fun watching you go throughout your career, but kind of talk a little bit about how you've navigated that. And, you know, obviously you had to put in your dues. I think you went to Michigan to become a sports reporter, which is, you know, I mean, it's a long ways away. You're not making any money, right? You better love it, because if you don't love it, you're not going to last long in this business. And then, you know, finally go to San Diego. You're with the Padres for 5 or 6 years, and then to come back to Colorado in 2012 to do the Rockies game. It's been a lot of fun kind of watching you transition from one role to the next, and to see everything that you've done.
Thanks. I appreciate that. I mean, I think you of all people probably remember and know more than anyone, but my goal when I got into this business was like, I'm going to be a sideline reporter for football. Like, it was so specific.
Very specific, very narrow.
Very specific, very narrow. Because that's what I saw, right? Like, the era that I grew up in, a lot of the women, so people that look like you that you see on TV, were doing sidelines for football. There was the rare Linda Cones that were sitting at a desk doing Sports Center, or even for me, a great mentor and someone I watched very closely, who I know you did as well when you were in high school, is Marcia Neville. You know, she was a groundbreaking female sports reporter here in Colorado. Susie Wargen, even, like, having those role models. But really, it was such a specific goal because of that. I mean, I think if you were to tell me when I was standing next to you on the sidelines at a Colorado State football game, like, you're going to call a Major League Baseball game one day, and you're going to call college basketball, I would have laughed in your face. Like, that was not on my radar. It still wasn't even on my radar 10 years ago. Like, it was something that just developed on the path. And I think I credit that to changing my mind, to being very open-minded once my career started, and starting to get uncomfortable, right? Like, our business can be uncomfortable in general because you're putting yourself out there to do our craft. But it was like, anytime I got a big opportunity, rather than shy away from it, I just tried to lean into it, knowing there were times that I failed heavily and still do. But it's like, that's where you grow. That's where you really can see your future, when you get uncomfortable. And so I really credit those little times to being able to just, like I said, get uncomfortable. And part of that was going to Flint, Michigan. I took a job in a town I'd never heard of.
Flint.
In a town where clearly now we all know not to drink the water, but I didn't know then. Pretty sure I had a few glasses. The sun didn't shine much. But, like, I just leaned into the experience, and I realized, like, there were some amazing high school athletes that came out of there that ended up in the NBA, that ended up in the NFL, and got to watch their journeys and their careers, and knowing that I did some stories on them way back in the day. And then, you know, taking a leap of faith, I got I played lacrosse at Colorado State. I guess I didn't mention that earlier. And I got a coaching opportunity at UCLA in California, where my brother was living at the time, and I had some freelance TV work there. And that journey was really hard. Like, I made a lot of big changes in a short amount of time, and I missed doing TV every day, but it led me down to San Diego, and it led me into baseball. I never thought baseball broadcasting was on the horizon for me. And at the end of the day, like, the very first day I sat on the field and looked around during a Padres Dodgers game, I was like, I was made to do this. My dad, being a longtime high school baseball coach, growing up in a baseball family, it felt very natural. And that was the beginning of, I had no idea what's now going into my 16th Major League Baseball season, with two different teams in the National League West. And started off as a pre and post game reporter, leading into a game sideline reporter, into a pre and post game host, and eventually doing some play by play that, you know, led me down the college basketball play by play route too. So I'm very, very grateful. I feel like, looking back, it was a combination of having a passion and a purpose, right? Intersected with a ton of hard work, but also meeting a lot of great people along the way. And I can't stress that enough. From day one, from you giving me an internship, to the great people like Gary Ozello, Rich Berkemshaw at CSU, always, you know, giving me an opportunity whenever I spoke up and wanted to do something, even if it was them taking a big risk, they did it. And I just felt like I've had a lot of champions along the way. And later in my career, a lot of those champions have become great females. We have a female producer for Rockies Baseball. We have a female director that have pushed the envelope for me, pushing the envelope for myself, and just said, we're going to take a chance doing this because we believe in you. We want to do this. This is the direction we're heading. And you've worked really hard, and this is the place you're at in your career. So ready or not, let's go, let's pull the parachute. Let's all dive in. And, you know, even on days when you're like, I don't know what I'm doing, why are we here? Like, other people believing in you, makes a huge, huge difference. So I'm really grateful for the team aspect of getting me to this point in my career.
Yeah. You know, I want to go back to being a female breaking down barriers, and, you know, you did play by play for a major league game in what, 2018. And you were one of the first ever to do it in Major League Baseball on the TV side. Obviously when I was introducing you before we came on, mentioned the fact that, again, you're the first woman to win the Colorado Sportscaster of the Year, the National Sports Media Association. And of course, it's the 50th anniversary of Title IX coming up here this summer, legislation that, you know, allowed for more opportunity for women in higher education. So I'm just curious, what's it like? You've been talking about all these mentors of yours, and then now the script has been flipped a little bit. You're a role model for aspiring young female broadcasters, whether they be in grade school right now, when you first kind of had that passion and you saw folks like Linda Cohn or Melissa Stark on TV, or that could be in college or even beyond. I mean, you are now the role model that other people look up to.
It's really special, right? And I do not take that lightly. I think, as I've continued in my career, again, that scary leap of like, someone coming up to you and saying, you're going to call a baseball game tomorrow. You're going to call a Major League Baseball game tomorrow. Imagine that prep time. Pretty quick.
24 hours. That's it. That's it.
Yeah. That's it.
And you'd never done it before. I mean, you'd never called a baseball game before, right?
I think I had called one at spring training because we'd been building towards that in 2018. And I'd called a game at spring training, but spring training's so different than the regular season. And again, I just, because of my team, because of the people around me, because of the analysts that I work with, you know, getting to work, we just have a great team. Like, I didn't think of it as this historic moment in time. I thought of it as, we have a job to do collectively, and I better be ready on my part of the job because everyone else is going to bring their game. So that's what my concentration and focus was. When I showed up to the ballpark that day and there were local TV cameras, and then that night on ESPN, Scott Van Pelt's talking about it. All of a sudden I was like, whoa, wait a second. Like, this is bigger than me. This is the idea of what you said. Now I'm a face that I hope some little girl watched or listened to and started a new dream, right? We're just expanding and opening the door a little bit more. And I all of a sudden realized like this great responsibility of, I enjoyed doing it. I have a long way to go. I have a long way to grow in doing it. But now it's like, it's not only a goal of mine and something I want to do for me, it's this obligation and this priority to keep opening that door so that this next generation coming through of women or of young boys or of diverse people, it doesn't matter. Like, they see that anything's possible, the opportunities are available to them, and they might be things they never thought of before. So I don't take it lightly. And it's really a joy to like, to be at a game and have a dad come up and want to introduce his daughter. She might not even care. She might not want to be there, but it's so meaningful for a dad to now see his little girl and say like, that's her. That's the girl you see on TV. And so even for dads to have a role model that they can point to their little girls. And now I have a little girl, and it's like, it's a whole different meaning, right?
Yep.
You have little kids, so you get it. It's like, I had a son, and that was pretty powerful because my first Major League Baseball game I called, he was 6 months old. And then my first game I called this year was at spring training or this past season. And Emery was like in my belly and I was 9 months pregnant. And so you're just starting to think of like what you're also giving to your family and to your kids, and that idea of being a role model and trying to do a little bit of everything, right? Have a great career, work hard, be successful, but be a good mom and be home. And it's such a tough balance, as you know, and something I'm still navigating daily.
Well, now, you know, you look into the future and maybe some more play-by-play on the horizon. I think you did a handful of games last year as well. And you and I have had this conversation before. I'm a Rockies fan, but if they're 15 games out of 500 or 15 games under 500 or 15 games out of first place in July, I tend not to watch.
You're a Rockies fan when they're in the top three in the standings.
Kinda. Yeah. I just don't, I can't justify watching a game in July when they're completely out of it. And we've had that conversation.
You can, Jenny, I want to watch you more. So entertaining. That's why you can watch.
That's right. I know. And I was like, I want to watch Jenny more. I want to see her call games, but gosh darn it, the Rockies are screwing it up again. Unbelievable. But how do you like play-by-play? Because, you know, I equated my time in college and I didn't even know really what I wanted to do. I was, you know, there for the social aspect for most of my college career, but finally I finally did a game though, and like I called a college basketball game for the student radio station, and then it was like it hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, whoa, this is what I want to do. And I know you kind of had those moments over the years, but play by play, I mean, is that something you want to continue to look for, and will you have other opportunities to do more and more of that here with the Rockies, or do those opportunities have to go elsewhere? Cause I don't want you to leave Colorado.
Yeah. Oh, that's really nice. Thank you. I don't want to leave Colorado either. And my husband's doing his best to not get us to leave because he just became a Denver firefighter. So yes. That's exciting. Yes. And we're here. Awesome. Which is really, really cool. So I'm super proud of him too, but I think the moments for me is like, I watched you do play by play for all those years with Rich Berkemshaw again in college. I've had Drew Goodman in my ear since I was in middle school. And now, you know, that's my day at work. Like the amount of like you guys are just so good, right? The passion, the precision, the flow, the rhythm, like all the things you think about play by play, like wanting someone to be the background noise to what you're watching on the television side or on the radio side, like how you describe plays and action, like all that is so important. So those are things I need to work on, that I need to grow with. My job, like how I grew up in this business, was being a storyteller. And I think when I really started to enjoy play-by-play was, to your point, it was about the journey and not the destination. I was the work I do, the research, excuse me, putting together boards and learning about players and like matching the statistical part of what they do to like who they are as a person off the field, or, you know, just whatever, weaving that story in and out is a ton of fun, but the action's awesome. And I think when I really started to fall in love with that was getting to do play-by-play for college basketball, because in baseball, again, it is more of a storytelling avenue, but you have to be on every pitch. Like any swing of the bat could be the game changer at any moment in any inning, right? You could end up calling a home run in the second inning and it's a 1-0 game and that's it. At least in basketball, like if you feel like you messed up on that end of the court, like you can always bounce back, right? And there's always action offensively, defensively. So it's just like learning all the different nuances of the job of being a play-by-play person. The challenge of it, that's been really exciting to me too. I think doing, you know, being in this business for 20 plus years now, starting to look for those extra challenges, like where to get better, how to push yourself. I see it in that arena. So yeah, I am going to have a few more baseball games this year and it'll be a ton of fun. But I think that's the other thing. And I kind of mentioned this earlier, but our team, the Rockies broadcast team, has been really cool because our analysts, even they've been pushing the envelope of, you know, when I'm calling play by play, sometimes they're hosting and filling in, and getting to watch them grow in their broadcast careers has been really, really special. So I love the fact that we've become versatile players and just trying to do different things rather than have, you know, distinct roles. It brings creativity to 162 game season.
Well, I love your broadcast crew. I really do. Jenny, I enjoy watching you guys, and just need the guys on the field to stay competitive.
I know.
Let's have a baseball season. I mean, I think it's
let's start there. Let's start with the lockout needs to be over, because we're day 55 here. So
yes,
the lockout
yes.
needs to be over first.
All right. Let's run. I know you have to, you have a national radio show on, what is it? Major League MLB.com? What is it? MLB Radio.
Yeah, MLB. Right. MLB Network Radio on SiriusXM.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. What's that show? Pitch that real quick.
Yeah, it's called Unassisted, and I'm on every day for an hour, usually at 11 a.m. Mountain Time. Sometimes it changes to 12 p.m. depending on programming. I'll probably be on at 12 p.m. once lockout's over. But yeah, it's just an hour of catch you up on all the baseball news and have some fun doing it with some good interviews. So yeah.
Yeah, cool. Cool. I know I said, hey, Jenny, let's just keep this short, 10, 15 minutes. And of course, we're not able to do that going back.
We can't along do with- that.
Final thought before we let you go. I know you mentioned you're coming up to Fort Collins on February 4th, the Orange Out, San Diego State, a Friday night game. You're gonna love that. And there's just a lot of, I think, excitement around Colorado State athletics. Obviously, what Nico Medved's been doing, and I know you've had a nice relationship with Nico over the years, covering the Mountain West Conference. So what he's been doing is unbelievable. And then I know you haven't met Jay Norvell yet. You're going to do the Rams roundup down at Denver Country Club next week, I think. So you'll get a chance to meet Jay. But man, exciting stuff up here in Fort Collins.
Exciting stuff. Great coaches. And I think at the end of the day, we all know that in Fort Collins, like, you have to be true to yourself. It's a very transparent town. What I love coming up to basketball games is you look around and the fans are the same that were sitting there in the Dale Lehrer years, right? Like, it's the same fans that are there, and they want teams to win, and they want to do it with good people. And it just seems like there are so many good people in place right now in terms of coaches. Nico, one of the best in the business, and watching him grow from an assistant with Tim Miles to creating his own path as a head coach and coming back to Fort Collins. It's been really, really cool. And then, you know, having San Diego State come in, I have a really close relationship with that coaching staff. I covered them, my time in San Diego when I was doing the Padres. I did a lot of Mountain West games for football and for basketball, there. And, you know, all of Steve Fisher's proteges, Brian Dutcher now taking over, having been a longtime assistant in the Mountain West before. It's going to be a really fun matchup, not to mention both teams are really good. And I think you can throw out the window what happened in San Diego. I think you can throw out a 30-point game. It wasn't the best showing by the Rams. We know that. We know the Aztecs will bring 40 heavy minutes of defense. And I think round two, they will be ready on their home turf.
Yep. And certainly the crowd will help that out as well. Well, Jenny, appreciate you taking a couple of minutes. I know I hadn't talked to you since the Hall of Fame. You came up for the Hall of Fame inductions with Gary Ozzello, and then of course Joel Dreesen, who you went to school with. But you're doing awesome stuff. I think when people think of Jenny Kavnar and Ram alumni that think of Jenny Kavnar, they think of you with a sense of pride. I know everyone's thrilled that you're a Colorado State Ram. Continued luck, and we'll see you up here next week.
It means a lot. Thanks, Brian.
All right, there she goes, Jenny Kavnar. And again, Jenny's going to be up in Fort Collins a week from Friday. She's going to have the call on FS1, the Rams, and the San Diego State Aztecs. That's going to be a fun, fun game. Good to get Jenny back in the friendly confines of Moby Arena. All right, that's going to do it for the podcast here this week. Again, thank you to Jenny for hopping on the show. We heard from Nico Medved and James Moores as well. Coming up on next week's show, full recap of National Signing Day. We'll hear from head coach Jay Norvell. As always, we appreciate you tuning in each week right here to the Colorado State Insider Podcast. So long, everybody.
This has been the Colorado State Insider with Brian Roth. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Colorado State Sports Network.